Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Have you ever been around Christians who seem like they were weaned on a dill pickle or maybe prune juice? You know the kind I'm talking about, wound so tight that they'd spin forever if they were atop. I've actually had conversation with people who feel that's the proper demeanor for a believer, somber and introspective. But that's not what the Word of God says.
Deuteronomy 28, verses 47 and 48 said, "If you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm, for the abundant benefits you have received, you will serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you. You will be left hungry, thirsty, naked, and lacking in everything."
Now, from the way that verse begins, we're gonna look at those two verses in today's teaching, which is entitled Understanding Your Abundant Benefits. Number one, serve the Lord your God with joy. Joy is an inward work. It comes from having an inner peace, birth, due to the obedience, to your obedience, and trust.
Proverbs 16, verse 20 in the New Living Translation says, "Those who listen to instruction will prosper. Those who trust the Lord will be joyful." That says a lot.
It does. If we listen to and obey His instructions, we will prosper. The verse doesn't say may, might, could, or should. It says you will prosper. And the verse also says that we're to be joyful.
Deuteronomy 28, verse 47 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness of mind and heart, in gratitude for the abundance of all with which God He had blessed you."
Mind is what you're thinking. The heart is what you're doing. When the mind and heart line up in obedience to God's instructions, there is joy in our midst. Number two, serve the Lord with enthusiasm. Everything we do should be, it should be done as unto the Lord and with enthusiasm.
In Ecclesiastes 6, 7 in the New Living Translation, it says, "Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people."
Here are three power thoughts to help you understand more clearly what enthusiasm really means. And we've shared a couple of them before. First, the last four letters of the word enthusiasm are IASM, which stands for I am sold myself. Second, according to Latin and Greek dictionaries, the word enthusiasm literally means God within. When we can allow the greater one within us to stir our greatest desire for excellence, we will have the motivation we need. And third, enthusiasm is one of the six things that God wants us to excel at.
2 Corinthians 8, 7 in the New Living Translation says, "Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving."
Number three, praise the Lord your God with gratitude for the abundant benefits you've received. You know, one of the most quoted verses in Scripture is Psalm 35:27. "Let them shout for joy and be glad to favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." Most every believer can quote that verse. But I've asked hundreds of audiences around the world to quote Psalm 35:27, and they do readily. But when I ask them to quote the next verse, they can't.
Psalm 35:28. This in the Classic Amplified Bible continues to say, "And my tongue shall talk of your righteousness, rightness, and justice, and of my reasons for your praise all the day long."
Wow. Our attitude of gratitude for what God has done for us, his amazing benefits, should be a continual state of mind and speech.
The Message Bible translation of Psalm 35:28 says it this way: "I'll tell the world how great and good you are. I'll shout hallelujah all day, every day."
That says it all. Number four, joyfully worship him. When I think about worshiping, joyfully worshiping our great God, Jehovah, the first thing that comes to mind are lines from a couple of songs. First one is, "This joy I have, I surely see."
Hallelujah.
"This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away." The song goes on to say that robbers can't take it away. Repo men can't take it away. Nobody can take it away. The second song is actually based on Psalm 30:5. Psalm 35 in the Classic Amplified Bible.
"For his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. Or in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Joy does come in the morning. Joy follows weeping when he is at the core of our existence, when we are at peace with him. Worshiping him for all he's done and is doing and will continue to do in our lives.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah and amen.
Number five, honor the Lord with your whole heart. The word honor is in the King James Version of the Bible a total of 178 times, and in the New Living Translation, a total of 366 times. If God said something once, I believe it's important to him and should be important to us. However, if he says something hundreds of times, we'd better pay attention to what he's saying.
1 Samuel 2:30. 1 Samuel 2:30 in the New Living Translation. "Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I promised that your branch of the tribe of Levi would always be my priest, but I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me."
Honor is respect. Honor is giving credit where credit's due. Honor is important to God, so it should be important to us as well. Our prayer should be the same as what's written in Psalm 86:11.
Psalm 86:11 in the Classic Amplified Bible. "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk and live in your truth. Direct and unite my heart solely, reverently, to fear and honor your name."
Number six, praise the Lord for making you wealthy.
1 Corinthians 1:26. 1 Corinthians 1:26 in the New Living Translation. "Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy when God called you."
We need to remember who makes us wealthy. And let me just say this. It just flashed in my mind. I need to bring it back. We have to be wealthy in the Word before we're ever wealthy in what the world calls wealth.
That's very good. And remember, like you said, who makes us, who gives us the ability. Deuteronomy 8:18 explains it. "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant where he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day." Praise the Lord, for it is he who gives you wealth and the power to get it. In Deuteronomy 8:17, backing it up just to one verse, in the Classic Amplified Bible, it gives us a warning. It says, "And beware lest you say in your mind and heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth."
At the time the scripture was written, people lived in an agrarian society where they worked with their hands. So this verse takes on added significance. Your wealth is not because of what you've done, but rather what he's done and is doing through you. Here's a little quiz for you. Who said this? There's nothing in this world that can compare with the Christian fellowship. Nothing can satisfy but Christ. Was it a preacher, Billy Graham, Dwight L. Moody, a Bible teacher, Joyce Meyer, T.D. Jakes? Was it someone justifying why they are where they are? None of those. The quote was by John D. Rockefeller, who at the time of his death, one out of every $30 produced in the American economy was from a Rockefeller company. And he tithed on the first $1.50 he ever earned.
Thanks to his mama.
His mama, you're right. Seventh, practice the first six reasons or experience the consequences.
Deuteronomy 28, verse 48 in the Contemporary English Version. He will send enemies to attack you and make you their slaves. Then you will live in poverty with nothing to eat, drink, or wear, and your owners will work you to death. That sounds awful.
It does.
You know, when people aren't appreciative or complain about what God's done for them, it doesn't really make him a happy camper, as my husband would say.
It does.
In Numbers 11, verse 1, it says, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp."
You know, honey, when you look up that word, displeased, in the Hebrew, it literally means evil in the ears. When people complain, it's evil in the ears of the Lord. That tells you how he doesn't like complaining. The scripture is very clear. God feels that complaining is evil. It says that God got angry. That's probably not something we want to do. Make God angry or unhappy. So our suggestion today is that you focus on the first six reasons to be thankful that you've never experienced the reality of number seven. So it gives you a good reason to kind of focus on Deuteronomy 28, verses 47 and 48 today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go to haroldherring.com. Check out this week's 2-minute video. If you've been blessed by the teaching up at the top where it says, "Sow a seed," just ask God, "What seed do you have you put in the ground?" Do what he says. It's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.